Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this second Sunday in Lent, and it's also St. Patrick's Day, a day in which everyone is honorarily Irish. Our homilist this morning is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. As we begin our service this morning, let us hear a very familiar hymn written in the 5th century by St. Patrick himself, St. Patrick's Breastplate. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have again brought us together to praise you for your goodness and to ask for your blessing. Give us grace to see your hand in the week that is past and your purpose in the week to come. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Dear friends in Christ, as we turn our hearts and minds to worship Almighty God, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Merciful God, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This is the Collect for the second Sunday in Lent.
Almighty God, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us faith to perceive his glory, that being strengthened by his grace, we may be changed into his likeness, from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me on high on a rock. Now my head is lifted above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I do seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God, my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Faithful God, the shelter of all who hope in you, may those who seek your face be set free from fear and distress and come to see your goodness in the land of the living. Through Jesus Christ, our light and our salvation. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with the 17th verse. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. for many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that is also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. My beloved, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very hour some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. This is the second Sunday in Lent, and today's sermon is based on Psalm 27. Apart from Psalm 23 and 91, Psalm 27 is probably one of the most popular psalms in the Bible. It is a psalm that declares God's faithfulness. Through this psalm, King David wrote about his fears, confidence, and trust in God. This morning, we will be looking at the brokenhearted words of David as he sought the Lord in his hard times. The psalm is ascribed to David, and it addresses the issues of fear and faith and waiting on the Lord in the midst of life's difficulties. David wrote Psalm 27 just like he wrote so many of the other 40 psalms that he penned. David wrote this particular psalm during a time when he was in trouble, and everything to him seemed dark. David for many years was running for his life from King Saul and his men who wanted to kill him. But this psalm shows that David had a calm reassurance with God, that God was his stronghold and was his light as well as his salvation. So, of whom shall he be afraid? In the dark nights of the soul, God is our light. It leads us to salvation. So why should David be afraid? David is not afraid. The Lord is my salvation. We cannot never know God's light until we know darkness without him. We can only know his strength if we know our weakness. David was truly in a time of vulnerability. But as he saw the goodness, the mercy, the strength, and the love of God, fear left him. The first enemies that God defeats is the fear of the enemy. David also reminds us that in the times of darkness, the Lord lights the way. He may not always show us the whole path, like a good strong flashlight, he helps us see what is ahead of us. And FYI, there's actually something always happening when it seems like nothing is happening in your life. God is working while we are waiting. His timing is always perfect, always. You or I have probably read or heard this psalm many times in the past. I encourage you, as I did, to read it again through new lenses, and you will see it in a different way. It is so interesting how people, even myself, read the Bibles over and over again without paying much attention to what we are reading. Through the psalm, you will see that David never asks for trouble to come to his enemies, as this was never his aim. His aim was for God to bring light into his own life, just as we seek it for ours. As you will now read the psalm with fresh eyes, you will notice how David's perspectives changed from the time he started to the time he finished the psalm. Now, when we talk about fear, let's admit it up front that fear is real. Different people may fear different things in different ways, but the fear of apprehension and impending doom is very real. Think about some common fears that we may have. The fear of death, your death, a loved one's, an illness, high places, speaking in public, perhaps doing a sermon, the fear of being alone, losing a job, financial struggles, and so on. For some, it would be the fear that God may not love you or could never love you. Some fears come because something is unknown. And of course, since it is unknown, we don't know if we are prepared. Fear can also debilitate us or can compromise our ability to function and even suck the life right out of you. What about you and me? When we are in a fearful situation, do we look at God as our salvation, our deliverance, our light, and our stronghold? If you enjoy being in the presence of God, then we should not fear and don't need to fear. If we are going to live the life that Jesus intended us to live, we need to learn confidence. The confidence is not a self-centered confidence. It is a God-centered confidence. This confidence teaches us to trust God so that we don't have to fear. Psalm 27 shares ways in which we can trust God and have confidence in Him to help us overcome our fears. You and I can have confidence over our fears because of our salvation. So this morning, we look at this fear that David is talking about. In the first verses, David asks, why should we be afraid? And why should I tremble? Well, the way David answers these words is almost like a prescription for overcoming fear in our lives. We don't know what fearful time David was facing when he wrote this psalm. And perhaps like us, he was wavering between fear and faith. When David became aware of his fear, he did something that we needed to do. He reminded himself and us of the character, the goodness, the strength, and the ability of our Lord. He starts off with a statement of faith, an acknowledgement that the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. So what should we do about it? David's word gives us some principles that our fears will be dispelled when we look at the words instead of looking at the threat. Right away, we can see in verses 1 and 2, he says three things about the Lord. The Lord is my salvation, He is my fortress, and He is my light. Think about this for a minute. Because of this, he was able to face his fears with courage and confidence. He knew that God alone could give him what he needed to face his fears and problems. These things speak to most of the underlying reasons for our fears. God is his light. God is his salvation in times of confusion and uncertainty. We don't know what to expect, so we do feel fear. But David reminds us that in the times of darkness, the Lord lights the way for us. He may not always show us the whole path, but like a good, strong flashlight, He is there to see what is ahead of us. Is God guiding your path? Are you gaining insight for what you should do, think, or feel from His word? Is He inside of you guiding the way? If not, then the first step is to get right with God. He is our salvation from eternal condemnation. Isn't one of our greatest fears the judgment of God? If you are like me, do you at the end of the day question if you have anything that God would judge you for? Do you go over your day that you've done nothing that you would need to ask for forgiveness for? God is our salvation in the daily times when we feel overwhelmed, unequal to the task, like there is too much to handle. He rescues or saves us when we have a fear of failure, disappointing others. We are reminded that God not only saves us in eternity, He saves us now, every day, every time. We just have to know it. God is our fortress in the times when we feel threatened by destruction or danger, when we feel fear in a near accident, or when someone threatens us or acts aggressively towards us, when we feel overwhelmed, feel threatened, when we feel that we cannot go on, God will deliver us. David reminds us that the Lord is our shelter and deliver us from day-to-day things. Just put yourself in God, because he will see you through the difficult times of your life. I have always been led to believe that God puts his strong and his invincible arms around us in times when we are afraid. And it helps us to remind ourselves that our Lord is ever present. He is strong, he is wise, holy, good, loving, and sufficient for any and every need. Sometimes we don't know how he does it, but David reminds us of God's promises. In Romans 8, the Lord has promised that nothing can separate us from his love. We are promised in Ephesians 3:20 that he can do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. Isaiah 41:10, he says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." In verses 6:10, we hear David's cry, and how conquering fears calls for a new focus. David reminds himself that the true security is found in the Lord. Even if his parents were to abandon him, he knows the Lord will keep him close. How can we or David know that God is dependable? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics that God that we know of. God's character. He's powerful, faithful, protects us, merciful, good, holy, and loving. God's promise. He will always protect us. God's track record. He has acted faithfully in the past. Hasn't he done so in the past? Can you point your fingers to things that God has done that has seen you through things that you thought you would never get through on your own? To regain our perspective of God, we need to meet with him regularly. Running to him when we are afraid is one of the best things for us to do. Now, how can we do that? By coming together, running to the temple of the Lord, a gathering here on a Friday to record our Sunday service, or to listen to our sermon on Sunday, or any day. There is something about gathering together in worship that helps to lift our souls. Gathering together and reminding ourselves that we can make it. We don't have to do it on our own. We have each other, but more than that, we have a God who is more than sufficient to meet every single need we face. In verses 11, 13, do you ever find that when you are facing fear, you seem to become paralyzed and sometimes feel like you can't do anything? You need to understand that instead of letting the fear paralyze you, you need more than ever to keep following the Lord's path. Just keep going and doing what is right. Fear is dispelled by looking at the Lord instead of a threat. It can also help us grow. Perhaps God gave us fear to alert us to danger. And maybe he even gave us the sense of fear so we would know we need to turn to him. Finding faith and strength in fearful times can be a struggle for most of us. If we look at these times of opportunities when facing fear with faith, instead of fear, we are going to grow stronger. We may fail at times, but as long as we keep taking a step, God will guide us. Finally, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, patiently wait for the Lord. Patience or waiting patiently? I kind of have to laugh at this because patience is something I have never learned. I had to learn and I'm still learning. Waiting for some of us is a difficult thing to do, especially because we live in such a fast-paced society. We do not like to wait. But as I have learned, that waiting is very important in our spiritual lives. We cannot hurry up waiting. You see, God isn't on our time schedule. He has his own. We need to remain calm when God delays. And when we learn to do that, that is when we truly can see God work in our lives. And so, here in verse 14, David encourages himself and any others who may be going through trials. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. He is kind. He is good. He is merciful. He is my light. and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. Dear friends, as I come to the end of my sermon here today, I ask you to again reread Psalm 27 with a new perspective. You might be surprised at what you may learn from it. Now, for these last few words, which I happen to come across, I find it fitting to end my sermon. Praying for your life can mean praying in times of crisis. It can mean praying for daily strength. It can mean persevering in prayer for a lifetime. Are you praying for your life? If you are, then you know firsthand the incredible confidence David exhibits in the psalm. Praise God, right? If not, then I challenge you to pray for your life starting today. Look to God in times of trouble. Come to God for strength every day. Commit to a lifetime of persevering prayer. Take heart, be strong. You will see God's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Amen.
With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of our church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism and for their teachers and sponsors, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, especially Shane, Philip, Doug, and the people of New Zealand, for refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all whom have injured or offended, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and from your own do we give you. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age of the to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving. And we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed, to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister. and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with us this day, now and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.